Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
How good was beautiful Haley? Stand up, beautiful Haley. This is beautiful Haley. She's carrying a little bubba, a little baby girl. Little baby Yergsley. I'm touched. I'm moved. Stay standing. Stretch your hands out towards beautiful Haley. Father, we just thank you for an anointing. We just thank you for an anointing. And I just felt the Lord just say, don't even fear. Don't fear your inadequacies of being a mama, the childbirth, the birthing process, any of that. Have no fear. Have no fear. God is with you. God is the God who builds families, and a God is the equipper. But it's just really interesting. I just saw God telling me to tell you that there's just incredible blessing on you and your husband. And just as you guys are enlarging, becoming from a couple, becoming a family, in the same way, I just felt God just say, don't think that your resources are not going to grow, and that your income is not going to grow, and that your finances are not going to grow, and that your home and the things that God has done around you is not going to grow. There's incredible blessing. There's incredible favor. In fact, as you were up here singing, I saw new songs. I saw new lyrics. I saw new melodies. I saw even on Bryce just incredible entrepreneurial blessing on this young man. And Bryce, the Lord would even say to you that there's talents you still haven't tapped, or that you're aware of, but you haven't got time or haven't made time to get around and develop them. They're even going to come to the forefront. And Haley, the crazy thing, and it's got nothing to do with your hat, but the crazy thing is I did see you painting. And twice I said to God, I'm not giving her that word. And twice he said, you better, otherwise I won't give you any more words if you're not obedient with the ones. And I saw you painting on a canvas, and you were just laughing and having fun. And then when you step back, my God, it was a masterpiece. It was beautiful. And there's just gifts and things on the inside of you, and blessing and favor. And I just felt the Lord just say, because you've dedicated yourself to my house, watch what I'm going to do to your house. He loves you. You're awesome. And we love you and your handsome hubby. And we can't wait to meet little baby Yergsley. So amazing. I have to throw that in everywhere. Well, how many people just thought that Alex Klott just busted up when he prayed? Stand up, Alex, and beautiful Tanae, Tanae. I'm going to hold hands and stand up. Come on, this is Alex and Tanae Klott, and they're just such great leaders. And Alex has come on staff. How long have you been on staff now? 6 months. And he asked, could he keep his other job? And we're like, absolutely. And so he works two jobs, and he's just a boss. He's at everything. His capacity is just amazing, extraordinary. And he married the beautiful Tanae. As soon as he married Tanae, we knew he'd be a C3 pastor. Because all of us are married so far out of our league, it's not funny. And there's just fresh oil. There's just fresh oil. Stretch your hands out towards this beautiful couple. And Tanae, I just hear the Holy Spirit telling me to tell you, again, you know, just like the word to Haley, don't fear. Don't be afraid. And it's amazing, I do see the word insecurities. And insecurities has been not just a sword or a dagger, but literally I see the devil opening, and there's a series of different size knives and daggers of insecurities that the enemy has always used to, whenever you got out of hand or whenever you started progressing, whenever you started taking ground, he'd use that to put into your heart, to cause your heart pain, to cause you to step back. Maybe if I just step back. But the Lord would say, don't fear. And this night, says the Lord, I'm gonna blunt every single one of those daggers. And And the Lord would say, fear not, my daughter, fear not, I am shaping you. I'm shaping you into the handmaiden of the Lord. I'm raising you up to be a princess in this house. And the Lord would say to you, everything that the devil told you are your disqualifications, are actually your qualifications. Because I cannot work through a person's strengths, because in their strengths they have no need of me. I can only work through a person's insecurities. I can only work through a person's weaknesses. In fact, in your weaknesses, my strength is perfected. And the Lord would say, don't look to yourself. Don't look to what you didn't have, what you don't have. Look to me. Look to my hand and look to my face. And I just see God filling and I see God raising you up. And this is what I see on the inside of you. There's a little girl, like a little ballerina girl, full of joy. Little ballerina full of joy, that for whatever reason the enemy saw that and he literally put her in a cage. And I see God coming and getting her out of the cage, and she's going to dance, and the joy and the light on the inside is going to come out, and people are going to see the dance, and people are going to see the joy and see the light, and they're going to be drawn to it. You were created by God. You were created to minister for God, and it's going to come out. The Lord would say, don't let the enemy, from this day forward, don't let the enemy accuse you that you don't have, that you don't have, you don't have. What you do have is Jesus Christ. What you do have is a Heavenly Father who loves you so much. And whatever the devil tells you, your disqualifications, know this, says the Lord, all he's doing is pointing at the areas that I'm going to flood in your life so that people see me through your life. And Father, I just thank you for Alex. I thank you for the great hand of God, the great power of God shaping this young man. And there's just such a mantle of leadership on you, Alex. There's a mantle of strength. And here's what God has already taught you in just the short time that you've been married to beautiful Tanae, is that there is strength on you, but great strength also needs to be harnessed. And what God has been most delighted in you, Alex, is that you're a strong leader who has learned how to be gentle with his bride. You need to understand that God often tests a man to see how he'll treat his bride before God elevates him to look after his bride, the church. And because you are strong, but lead your bride with strength and with gentleness, with humility and with grace, with honor and with valor, I just see that the Lord is going to continue to elevate and continue to bless your life. And so just so proud of you, Alex. So proud of you, beautiful Tanae. Can we give these guys a great, great hand from God? Amen. Amen. Musicians, you guys can take a break for a few minutes and then we'll get back up. And I promise I'm going to be good tonight in Jesus' name. We're going to pray for people tonight. It's going to be a breakthrough. But I do just want to share just a little word. The title of my message tonight, if I can remember what it is throw it up. It's something to do with raining. Making it rain. There it is. I just sent it to Pablo this afternoon. For some reason, I thought I was preaching somewhere else tonight this morning. And then I realized I was here tonight. And I thought, oh, sugar, I need a new message. But I've always got an overflow of messages, so it's never a bad thing. So I thought, what's a good title? Making It Rain. Making It Rain. Come on, how many people want to make it rain over their lives? Let me just take my wedding rings off again. Not that I'm fishing, but they keep doing that to the... Thank you, Jesus. Very happily married. Making it rain. Come with me in your Bibles to the book of Psalm 60, verse 7. If you guys can throw it up on the screen, I'm not reading from the New King James because for the first time ever, I was quite crushed and disappointed. The New King James just completely drops the ball in the end zone on this scripture. But the NLT is brilliant. So they're going to put it up in the NLT translation. Psalm 60, verse 7. Psalm 60, verse 7, this is what it says. It says, Gilead is mine and Manasseh too. Ephraim, my helmet, will produce my warriors, and Judah, my scepter, will produce my kings. Ephraim, my helmet, will produce my warriors. Judah, my scepter, will produce my kings. Let me pray and we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Speak through your servant. Let it be a word in season. Let it be a prophetic key that unlocks the kingdom over each and every one of these lives, that every person here would transpose whatever circumstance they are under to now dwell over and learn how to rule and reign over every circumstance. Rule and reign over the territory that you've given them. Rule and reign over the jurisdiction that you've allotted to them. Father, I pray all these things tonight in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. I love this passage of Scripture. When I read this, it just jumped out at me and really, really rocked me. And I just want to share a few thoughts with you tonight. That you were not created to just get by. You were not created to just kind of coexist. You were not created to just kind of blend. You were not created to be kicked around, knocked around, beaten around. The Bible says, and you go back to Genesis, that when God created man, he created man in his image and in his likeness. You've been created in the image and the likeness of the Almighty God. And the first thing that God did after he blessed man was he gave him dominion. Because blessing has to have a context. Blessing has to have a context. Let me just say this. There are churches, and maybe there are folks here, and you've been educated by these churches, that have a hard time interpreting, you know, our offering messages and our teaching around giving and generosity because they have a problem with prosperity. The reason they have a problem with prosperity is because they see prosperity as a thing called excess. They see prosperity as excess, that you know, you and I should just be kind of happy just to eke our way through life, and you know, we should be thankful for the roof over our head, unless it's a, you know, it's a fairly big roof over our head, then we should feel guilty about having a big roof over our head. You know, really, we should just kind of make do with a cardboard roof over our head, unless it rains. Okay, well then, let's upgrade, but not too upgrade. And so there's this problem with excess. So God began to speak to me and said, this is the my definition of excess. In fact, he woke me up while I was sleeping, and I realized it's maybe I'm surfing too much and not giving God enough time during the day that he has to wait till I'm asleep. Till he speaks to me. And so I wake up a few mornings ago, and he said to me, what is the definition of excess? I'm like, really? 2:45 a.m.? Really, we're doing this? So I gave him my, and he says, nope. I said, all right. He says, what's the definition of excess? I'm like, I think it's this, you know, opulence. And he said, nope. I'm like, all right, well, why don't you tell me, and then maybe I can get back to sleep. And he said to me, excess is where blessing, where my blessing, where the blessing of God exceeds vision. Where blessing exceeds vision is excess. If you only have a small vision, and then God blesses you beyond your vision, between where your vision ends and where the blessing, all of that is excess. So what we're trying to teach you is that in the kingdom of God, we want you to have an expansive vision. We want you to be chasing the blessing of God over your life so that you can be blessed to be a blessing. That you can be blessed to be a blessing. So if you find, man, I've got excess, man, what do I do with all this excess in my life? It just tells me that your vision stopped here, but the blessing of God kept going. God wants you to live in blessing. Because there is a world around about us that God is desperately trying to save. God is desperately wanting to reach. Now, we know it's God's will that none should perish, yet everyday people are perishing. Yet if it's God's will that none should perish, why are people perishing? Because Jesus said something very powerful. This is not going to be, this is not going to go over well if you're a Calvinist. But I'm already offending people, so I may as well just keep going. Calvinists believe that if it's God's will, it'll automatically happen. Well, it wasn't God's will for Lucifer to rebel. It wasn't God's will for Adam and Eve to disobey and sin. It's not God's will that someone gets drunk behind the wheel of a car and takes out a mother of three. That's not God's will. That was their will. God gave you a free will. Because he gave you a free will, God does not violate free will. Otherwise, it's not free will. And so God is not willing that any should perish, but everyday people perish because Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, God knows what his will is. He's looking to your life and my life to see if we will make his will our will. Now, let me say something a little crazy to you. God cannot perform His will in your life until His will becomes your will. God cannot perform His will in your life until His will becomes your will. Okay, all right. Thank you for the underwhelming response. Let me explain it to you. Jonah, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their sins have come up before me. So God's will was for Jonah to go to Nineveh. What does Jonah do? He goes down to Joppa and sails the other way to Tarshish. So he's doing the opposite of God's will. God sends a storm, sends a whale, swallows Jonah in the whale. It's amazing how Jonah in the whale has a come to Jesus moment. And as soon as Jonah repents, the whale spits him back up on the beach and he just happens to be in Nineveh. But the first thing that had to happen was Jonah had to change his will. Now, let me just tell you, there are two ways you can do God's will. The easy way or the stomach acid of a whale's belly way. Can I just encourage you, go the easy way. Don't go that way. God has wonderful ways to convince you that His will is the best thing for your life. But God will never violate your free will. So we live in a world where God has given men dominion. God has given us dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the beasts of the field. God has given us the great commission to go into all the world and make disciples. To make disciples of all the world, it's going to require finance. It's going to require blessing. And so we need to understand that God is not trying to extract something from us because He hasn't thought this thing through. He has thought it through. Just like the ocean gives the water that goes up in and forms the clouds go over the mountain, and as they rise, precipitation happens and it rains on the mountaintops. It fills all the streams and all the creeks and all the rivers, and it all flows back into the ocean. And it's this beautiful cycle where everything lives and everything thrives, and it's this endless cycle. In the same way, God has a kingdom cycle He wants you and I to engage in. If you give into the kingdom, if you become a blessing to the kingdom, you engage in a cycle where God gives back, pressed down, shaken together, running over, comes back into you so you can be blessed to be a blessing, that God gives seed to the sower so that His will can happen on the earth. You know, the Bible says, he who waters will himself be watered. He who blesses will himself be blessed. God wants you to flourish. God wants you to learn to reign in life. Don't settle for less than best. So have a look at this scripture. If we can put it back up again. The Bible says, God says, Ephraim is my helmet. Ephraim was the second son of Joseph. Joseph, how many people know Joseph? Multicolored, technicolored dream coat. Genesis 37, is betrayed by his brothers, thrown into a pit. They're contemplating, do we kill him? Do we kill him? And then Reuben, the elder, says, we can't kill him. He's our flesh and blood. He's our brother. Let's sell him. So they sell him. So they sell him into slavery. As a slave, he's taken down to Egypt, where he's auctioned off. He's up there on a gavel, comes down, he's auctioned off. And then he's sold to Potiphar. And then he's in Potiphar's house. And then you know the story. He's falsely accused of attempted rape on Potiphar's wife. And he ends up in prison. Now he's in a Middle Eastern prison. And there's you know, head lice and rats and, you know, just horrible sewage and incredible heat. And it's just horrible. And yet even in there, the Bible says, and the Lord was with Joseph. And Joseph was faithful even in the prison. So the prison keeper put him in charge of all the other prisoners. And then from the prison, he ends up in the palace. He ends up at the right hand of Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh gives him a wife. And he has two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Ephraim's name means fruitful in a foreign land. Fruitful in a foreign land. When Ephraim is born, Joseph says, I'm going to name the son Ephraim, for I have been fruitful in a foreign land. This is so powerful that God says, Ephraim is my helmet. In other words, God says, what I put on to protect my thoughts, what I put on as a helmet to go into battle is Ephraim. What is Ephraim? Fruitful in a foreign land. God says that Ephraim, my helmet, will produce my warriors. Can I just encourage you that one of the most important things about church And thank God, C3 Church, that we don't actually back up from declaring that God wants you to reign in this life. God wants you to be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. But you have to actually put on the helmet of salvation. You actually got to put on the helmet, Ephraim, that I will be fruitful in a foreign land, that I will be fruitful in a strange place. Literally, Joseph is in Egypt. He's a foreigner in Egypt. He's sold into Egypt as a slave. You could add fruitful in the land of oppression. Fruitful in the midst of racism. Now watch this. The reason he was able to flourish was because Joseph never became a victim. He says, I'm going to name my boy Ephraim fruitful in a land of oppression, in a land of racism, in a land of hostility, in a land where I was sold as a slave, in a land of injustice. The injustice, but he never claimed those things. He never claimed that he was oppressed and he was a victim, because this is what happens. Whenever you say, I am a victim, whenever you say, my brothers did this, I'm a victim of what my brothers did, I was falsely accused, I'm a victim. As soon as you claim victimhood, what you do is you elevate your oppressor above God. When you are a victim, the statement you are making in the spirit, you need to understand the devil wants you, because he's a thief. He wants to rob from you. So he has created a culture. He's created a dynamic now in American culture where it is cool to be a victim. In fact, you will be rewarded if you claim victimhood. The devil wants you to do that because he lives in the spirit realm, and he knows that he can shut down the flow of blessing, the flow of authority, because when you say, I am a victim, you are elevating your oppressor above the power of God. Joseph never claimed that he was a victim of his brothers, never claimed he was a victim of false accusation, never claimed he was a victim. Instead, he says, Ephraim, he says, I will be fruitful in a foreign land. God can bless me in the prison. God can bless me in slavery. God can bless me in the pit. God can bless me in oppression. God can bless me in a land where people are racist, where people are hostile, because the blessing of God knows no bounds. God's power is not shortened by what men can do. So he names his son Ephraim fruitful in a foreign land. When we came to San Diego, I hadn't read this scripture. When we came to San Diego, I had no idea that I'd put on that helmet. When we came to San Diego, there wasn't a church, there wasn't buildings, there wasn't a congregation, there wasn't people, there wasn't finances, there wasn't millionaires, there wasn't anything. But I came knowing that if I was obedient to God, that I would be fruitful in a strange land. I had no idea that I was putting on Ephraim. I had no idea that I was putting Ephraim on as a helmet. But watch what it says. It says, Ephraim will produce my warriors. Ephraim will produce my warriors. Judah, my scepter, will produce my kings. Tonight, the word I want you to take home is you are called to be a king and you're called to be a warrior. You're called to be a queen, ladies, and you're called to be a warrior, princess. Now, here's the deal. Unless you put on the helmet, you'll never be a warrior. You have to put on the helmet, Ephraim. You have to put on the helmet, fruitful in a foreign land, fruitful in a strange land, fruitful in difficult circumstances. You've got to put that on. Because when we came here, every obstacle that we hit, I just went straight back to God. When we had people that left and people said, listen, you can't build a spirit-filled church in San Diego, and we lost all our people. And the next week, our tithes and offerings were a third of what they were the week before. And my wife's like, man, how are we going to survive? How are we going to do this? You know, do you think we should back up? Do you think we should kind of, you know, move away from the Holy Spirit? And I said, I don't think that God sent us all the way from Sydney, Australia, to give San Diego what they've already got. They've already got those churches. What are we going to do? Just be another one of those with clever marketing? Or are we going to be another one just dressed differently? The same substance, the same as everyone else. We just got a cooler logo. I said, I don't think God makes mistakes. I think what God is looking for is courageous leadership. And so we began to pray. We got some warfare coming back, but warfare, bring it on. Because the Bible says the battle is the Lord's. Oh, so you want to come at me, devil? Come at me, devil. You can come at me hard, fast, and strong. It don't matter. There could be a billion devils. It don't matter. I'm with God. The Bible says, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. With God, I'm a majority. So I know that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, completely defeated the devil. I know that Jesus had all authority, not most authority, not some authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. And because we went, we are now under that authority. So I'm like, oh, devil, you want to mess with me? Shabra da rega devil, bring it on. And so we began to pray. We began to pray, and God says, you know, you don't need to look to the hand of man for buildings. You begin to pray for buildings. You begin to call them in. You begin to call them in. You begin to call them in. I'm telling you, people look at our church and they're scratching their heads going, how is God doing what he's doing? We wrote off California. We said this could never happen in California. And I just love that I live in a place where I don't listen to the naysayers and I don't listen to the experts. If God tells me it can be done, that's good enough for me. I don't need the opinions of men because I've decided I'm going to put on as a helmet Ephraim, fruitful in a foreign land. I can be fruitful in a city I've never been to. I can be fruitful in a place where they drive on the other side of the road. I can be fruitful in a foreign land. Because I know that I'm called to be fruitful in a foreign land, when anything less than fruitful comes in, I'm indignant. I rise up in warfare. You need to understand the devil will test you. He will test to see what you settle for. See, Moses was sent to Pharaoh to let my people go. Three times Pharaoh says, nope, not going to happen. Nope, no chance. But after three pretty devastating plagues, Moses got Pharaoh's attention. So the fourth plague, Pharaoh calls him. He says, all right, just call the plague off, call the plague off. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll let all the men go. I'll let all the men go. And Moses could have gone back to God and said, God, good news. The women and children, they're left behind, but we got the men out. Best I could do. But Moses goes, no chance. No chance. The women and it's the whole package or nothing. Plague number five. All right. You, the men and the women can go, but you can't go very far. You can't go very far. And you can only go for a few days and then you've got to come back. He could have gone to God. God, I did the best I could, man. Breakthrough. God, good news, good news. We got the men and the women. He's going to release the men. The only thing is we can't go far and we're only allowed to go for a few days. But I like Pharaoh. I like Moses. He says to Pharaoh, no chance, no deal. No deal. Next plague. Moses called into Pharaoh. All right. Call off the plague. He says, I'll tell you what. Boils all over the people. He says, I'll tell you what. I'll release the men and the women and the children. You can all go, but your livestock and your cattle and all your possessions stay behind. In other words, I'll let you get saved, but I don't want your wallet to get saved. I don't want you to live in blessing. I don't want you to live in, he says, your stuff stays in the world. Moses could have gone to God and says, God, good news, but he doesn't. See, the devil will always test you. The devil will always test you. What will you settle for? Well, where will you settle? Moses says, I ain't settling for anything less than what God has promised. And that's the entire nation free, the entire nation delivered out of. And God said this, that he will punish the nation that has enslaved us and you will pay us back for 400 years of slavery, 400 years of servitude. You're going to be paying us back. We ain't just leaving with our cattle. Are we going to be taking the gold and we're going to be taking the silver and we're going to be taking the jewelry of our neighbors with us because God's going to bring us out with a mighty hand. No deal, devil. See, you need to understand, unless you wear the helmet of Ephraim, unless you believe that God has called you to be fruitful in a foreign land, this warrior will never develop. The warrior that God has called you to develop will never, you'll put up with kids on drugs. You'll put up with addiction. You'll put up with poverty. You'll put up with lack. You'll put up with brokenness. You'll put up with dysfunction. Where have you drawn the line that you settle for? Put on the helmet of Ephraim. Fruitful in a foreign land will produce my warriors. God is looking for a generation of warriors. God is looking for a generation that says, devil, you've occupied my mind space too long. Devil, you've been reigning in my family too long. You've been oppressing my mother and my father too long. You've been oppressing my brother and my sister too long. You've been trying to ensnare my sons and daughters too long. I'm drawing a line in the sand. It's over, devil. I declare tonight you are bound in Jesus' name. I break your grip. I break your power. So unless you put on the helmet, Ephraim, you let the devil determine the level of blessing over your life. My Bible says that God determines the boundaries. King David wrote, the Lord has put the boundaries around my life and they are fallen in pleasant places. Unless you can say, man, my boundaries have fallen in pleasant places, you'll find that it's the devil that has set your boundaries. Don't let the devil set your boundaries. Don't let the devil say, well, this is your territory. I'm going to bring the fence in. He's a liar. As soon as you turn your back, he's actually moved the fence. Like, hang on, I thought it was. No, it was always here. Oh, okay. Turn your back again. He's moving it again. You're like, you're moving that. Don't let the devil draw the line on your life. Well, you know, mediocrity. No. Mediocrity is not for you. The Bible says that Daniel flourished because he had a spirit of excellence. You ought to live with excellence. Ephraim, my helmet, will produce my warriors. Watch this. And Judah, my scepter, will produce my kings. Judah means praise. Praise is what God rules with. He says, Judah is my scepter. He's got Ephraim as his helmet, but Judah is his scepter. The scepter was extended to Esther. When Esther came in, when she came into the holy place where the king, uninvited, sentence of death. But when he looks, Esther, is that you, my love? And he reaches out his scepter. And she reaches out and lays hold of the scepter and he lifts her up. And he says, what is it that you ask for? What is it that you petition? What is it that you require? Why have you come in? Why is your face sad? What is going on? And she tells him all that's in her heart. It's praise that brings you in the presence of God. The Bible says we enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Praise is the scepter that God rules with. Praise is the scepter that produces kings. If you really want to rule and reign in life, you got to develop a culture of praise. We have developed a culture of whine. We have developed a culture of complain. We have developed a culture where all we do is we whinge and we're always, don't go there. That is a language that shuts down the power of God. In fact, the Bible says this. It says, and the children of Israel complained again, so the Lord sent fiery serpents among them. Complaining attracts the power of the devil. Complaining attracts serpents. But the Bible says when David's words were heard, they brought him before the king. In other words, there's a language that elevates you, and there's a language that draws devils to you. I don't know about you, but I got enough devils to deal with. I don't need to be attracting any more devils with my whining, with my whinging, with my woe is me, with my complaining, and life isn't fair, and we didn't ask for this assignment, and I don't understand. I made a decision. That's not the language. The language that's going to come out of my mouth is praise to God. I'm going to praise him on the mountain. I'm going to praise him in the valley. I'm going to praise him in the good times. I'm going to praise. In fact, I made a decision. I'm going to praise God in every season. I'm going to praise him in summer. I'm going to praise him in winter. I'm going to praise him in fall, and I'm going to praise him in spring. I made a decision that if God inhabits the praises of his people and I need God to turn up, I'm just going to keep speaking praise. If you will keep bringing praise, God will keep inhabiting. He doesn't inhabit the wine of his people. He inhabits the praises of his people. Praise is the scepter which God rules in. You need to understand when the devil sees the scepter of God, he backs off. Because the scepter is symbolic of the king's authority. The scepter is symbolic of the king's authority. The reason the devil wants to shut down your praise is because he doesn't want the king's authority flowing out of your mouth. So he tries to shut down your praise. He wants to turn your praise into a whine and a complain. A whine and a complain elevates your circumstances above the power of God. Above the promises of God, above the goodness of God. I've just made a decision. I'm always going to be praising.
I'm always going to be praising. The Descanso building is the first building we're going to be buying that I don't have the money for. We bought this building cash. We bought that building cash. We bought, you know, South Campus comfortably. Descanso, first building we've got, I don't have the money for. So I was kind of a little bit, you know, churned up about that, thinking, okay, it's a pretty big project. $12 million project once we fit it all out. And so I'm kind of up a little bit at night thinking, okay, well, Holy Spirit, you want to ask me anything? I'm up. I can't sleep. He was like, no. And then he said to me, why are you up? I said, well, I'm trying to be responsible. I'm praying. He says, why are you praying? I said, well, it's the first building we're buying that I don't have the money for. He goes, finally. I said, what do you mean, finally? He says, finally, you're back to when you first moved over and you took steps. He said, it's taken me 12 years, but finally, you're back to that place where you're taking a step beyond your provision, beyond your comfort zone. Finally, finally, I got you back there again. So you know what I've been doing? I've just been praising God. I've been praising God for the building. I've been praising God for the money's coming in. I've been praising God the banks are going to be fighting over us. I've been praising God it's going to be fitted out with a 1,200-seat state-of-the-art sanctuary. I've been praising God it's going to have the best kids ministry. Praising God it's going to have the best youth ministry. Praising God it's going to have a TV studio. I've just been praising God. Because when you praise, it's the scepter of God. It's the authority of God. The devil knows if he can shut down your praise, he can steal your stuff. If he can shut down your praise, he stops the flow of God. The greatest thing you can do in the midst of hardship and in the midst of crises is praise. The Bible says they grab Paul and Silas and they beat them with rods. The reason they beat them with rods is to fracture their bones. So after the beating, they're still in pain for weeks. And then they chain them to a prison wall for crimes they did not commit. So here they are in pain, chained to a prison wall. And the Bible says, in the midnight hour, at the changing of the guard, Paul looks at Silas and says, I don't know about you, but I feel like getting my praise on. And so Silas is like, lead away. Take the shackles off my feet so I can dance. I'm just going to praise you. I'm just going to pray. And so they start busting out in the midnight hour. They cry, more, more, more. We're the rebel. And that was, sorry, that wasn't the song. They began to praise God in the midnight hour. And the Bible says that two men praising in a prison caught the attention of God so that there was an earthquake that busted open every prison door. Even the prisoners who were listening, even the prisoners who were contemplating, even the prisoners who were agnostic, were atheists, their prison doors opened as well. And the chains didn't just fall off Paul and Silas's hands and feet. The chains and shackles fell off all the their praise brought breakthrough because your praise releases the scepter of God. And the scepter of God is what produces his kings. And kings are people that rule over. Kings are not people that are ruled under. Kings are rule over. When you begin to praise, you'll find an authority flows that sets you over prisons, that sets you over chains, that sets you over oppression, that sets you over injustice. Ephraim, fruitful in a foreign land, fruitful in a foreign land. Judah is my scepter, producing my kings, producing my kings, producing my kings. I feel the anointing here already. I just hear the Holy Spirit saying there are people here tonight, like Pastor Michaela said, some people here, and you need a financial breakthrough. You need a financial breakthrough. I want you to know that we have no problem in this church preaching financial breakthrough. Watch this. God said to the children of Israel, I'm going to take you across the desert and I'm going to lead you into a land of Canaan. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. Watch this. He says, and when you enter that land, you will dwell in houses you did not build. He says, you will drink wine from vineyards you did not plant. You will eat fruit from orchards you did not tend.
I believe that God only wants to bless us with spiritual blessing.
You will dwell in houses you did not build.
You will drink from vineyards you did not plant. You'll eat fruit from orchards you did not tend. People have reinterpreted theology through their poverty mentality, that somehow God is broke and he'd like to bless you financially, but things are a little tight since he made the streets of gold in heaven. Kind of went overboard. Now he can only bless you with spiritual stuff. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Do you really think that God put the silver and the gold and the minerals and the diamonds and the opals and the oil and all the resources in the earth for the wicked? Do you really think he put all of those things in there saying, not for my children, but for the greedy, for their sinners, so they can promote sin and licentiousness and human trafficking and slavery? That's why I've put the wealth in the ground, not for my people. The Bible says, when God says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, it says that a river flowed out of Eden. A river flowed out of Eden, and a part of it became four river heads. And the very, very first one, the Gihon, I think it was, the very first river, the Bible says it passed through the land of Hiddekel, and there was gold in that land, and the gold in that land was fine gold. It's very interesting that if Adam and Eve just follow the river like God says, go out into all the world, the very, very first parting that they come to, there's so much gold. Why? Because God put the gold in there to resource the vision or resource the mission of fill the earth with his glory. There are people here tonight, you need a financial breakthrough. I want you to stand to your feet right now. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you're in a dead-end job. But I'm telling you, we have no problem. We have no problem in C3. If you have a problem, we're probably not the church for you.
Well, how do you deal with riches and the love of money?
Oh, glad you asked. This is how we deal with it. Every week we speak on tithes and offerings. You know how you were uncomfortable when Kayla was speaking about tithes and offerings? That's why we do it. We do that to make you uncomfortable.
I don't like this church. They're after my wallet.
Actually, we're after what your wallet's attached to.
Oh, my buttocks.
No. Your heart. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, God has no problem with you having stuff. He just has a problem with stuff having you. God has no problem with you having stuff. He just has a problem with stuff having you. Well, what's the antidote? It's really simple. Giving people don't greed, and greedy people don't give. Giving people don't greed. You'll find that if you can give, there's no greed. I find that as soon as I reach a wall where, man, I don't know if I can give. If there's things in my life where God says, I want you to give that, I'm like, I can't give that. Guess what? I no longer own it. It owns me. If God says to me, I want you to give this away, and I can't give it away, I don't own it anymore. It owns me. It owns me. God's trying to get stuff through you. To get it through you, if he can get it through you, he'll get it to you. Because God looks for sowers. He gives seed to the sower. Lift your hands. Father, I thank you for these sons and daughters right now. And Father, I declare, like Pastor Michaela said, before the year is out, before midnight strikes December 31, I release over every single one of these people a supernatural breakthrough. Father, it is God. Now listen. Some people are saying, well, look how many people there are. God can bring a million people out of slavery in Egypt into a place of prosperity and wealth, so that when Moses takes an offering in the wilderness for the tabernacle, God says, you better tell them to stop, because they've given more than enough in gold, in silver, in resources. God can bless. Father, I thank you for supernatural blessing. This is what I hear. I hear God saying there's going to be supernatural debt cancellation. Supernatural debt cancellation. Some people here, and there's a crippling debt. I see a crippling debt, and I see that thing being broken. I see its back being snapped in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, I thank you right now. Supernatural debt cancellation. I release it now. Father, I thank you for financial breakthrough. I thank you for a release in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, give God a great shout if you believe that right now. Hallelujah. Grab a seat. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for a few people. How many people are right now doing the internship program? I know we talked about the internship program. Can all of our interns stand to your feet? Stand to your feet. Would you, if you're sitting near one of our interns, would you stretch a hand and put a hand on them? You need to understand that as soon as you step out for God, there is a little target that comes on you. There's a little target. So you do experience warfare. The only reason you experience warfare is because the Bible says that God left some of the enemies in the land so that this generation might come to know warfare, because the previous generation had not taught them warfare. God sometimes allows the enemy to just come and bring a little bit of heat, bring a little bit of oppression, bring a little bit of turmoil, bring a little bit, because he's trying to teach you warfare. He's trying to teach you authority. This is the reason. Because how you get something is how you keep something. I got my wife by courting her. I got my wife by dating her. I got my wife by listening to her. Go on. That's your favorite color? Wow. I love magenta. Really? That's your favorite fabric? Velvet? Oh, wow. No, do go on. I mean, I got my wife from dating her, engaging in what is important to her. Then when we got married, I thought, that's it, I'm done. And then I wonder why within a few years my marriage was a mess. I'm like, God, how did it go from there to here? She said, I do. Do I just need to go back and whoop on her? You said, I do, woman. And God says, no. You've stopped doing what you did to win her. I'm like, well, I thought I had to do that just till she said, I do. And God's like, no, how you get something is how you keep something. How you get something is how you keep something. So I date my wife every week. I caught my wife. In fact, we try and have a coffee together every day. Because I found that to have a great marriage, how I got it is how I keep it. Spiritual warfare is exactly the same. For us to get this building, for us to get that building, for us to get a South Campus, for us to get Desconso, for us to get East Campus, it came through prayer. It came through spiritual warfare. It came through faith and prayer. So I discovered that how I got it is what's required to keep it. It's what's required to keep it. So I know that if God is taking you through something, the only reason he takes you through something is because he's developing the warrior in you. Because he's trying to tell you, hey, what I'm taking you into, you've got to be a warrior. See, God took the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. And he took them into a promised land. But they're trying to take a slavery mentality into the promised land. That's why a whole generation had to die out. Because if they were slaves, their testimony was, we were like grasshoppers in their sight and we were like grasshoppers in our sight. God's like, that's not a vision that comes from my spirit. The Holy Spirit gives vision and dreams. You're tapping into a different spirit. If you're seeing yourself as a grasshopper, you know what a grasshopper is? A grasshopper is in the locust family. They said, when we came in and we saw all the abundance, we saw all the blessing, we felt like we were locusts. We felt like we were grasshoppers coming to eat stuff that doesn't belong to us. And God said, that's what I told you. Oh, but we felt so diminutive. We felt so small. They were so big. And God says, you know what? That whole generation's going to die out. I need a Joshua and a Caleb who says, what are you guys talking about? Their protection has departed from them. Let us rise up at once, for we are well able to take it. If God delights in us, hello, he opened up a Red Sea. I think that counts for delight. Let us go up at once and we can take it. We are surely able to overcome. And God says, only Joshua and Caleb and the next generation, all those under 20, are going to cross over, because he needed a generation that understood warfare. Because how you get something is how you keep something. How you get something is how you keep something. Father, I thank you for our interns, that we are not just raising young people that know how to serve, and we are not just raising young people that have a biblical knowledge that is just head knowledge, but I thank you, Lord God, that we are raising warrior men and warrior princesses that understand how to bind and how to loose. They understand how to cast out a devil. They understand how to break a demonic bondage. They understand how to demolish strongholds. They understand, Lord God, what it is to lay hands on the sick and see the sick recover. They understand that you have called them to be the head, not the tail, above only, not beneath. They understand that God is with them, and if God is with them, who or what can stand against them? I thank you, Father. Now, as I'm saying that, I feel the Holy Spirit saying this. There's a bunch of people here, and that was a word for you, that how you get something is how you keep something.
And it's like the devil has stolen stuff from you this year. The devil has taken territory, has taken ground from you this year. I want you to stand up and join the interns, if that's you right now, because I'm going to pray over you that you're going to recover. And the way that you're going to recover is you're going to get that warrior is going to rise up on the inside, and you're going to take what the devil has stole. The devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. Come out of here, Dr. Matt. And Michaela, hold hands. Just stand right there. Someone stand behind them. Someone stand behind them. Father, I see what the devil stole from them this year financially. Father, and I declare it comes back double for their trouble. Double for their trouble. Double for their trouble. Double for their trouble. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, lift your hands high to heaven. Would you do this? Would you do this? Would you do this? One of the most powerful gifts. Jesus says, I want you to wait in Jerusalem till you receive power. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The day they receive power, they began to speak in tongues. If that's you, just begin to speak in tongues right now. Just begin to speak in tongues. Doesn't need interpretation. No, they're not talking to you. They're talking to God. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. He speaks to God. Indeed, with his spirit, he utters mysteries. Just begin to speak in tongues. Just go after that. That's power on the inside of you. Power on the inside of you. Father, I thank you right now for the great power of God resting on your sons and daughters. Resting on your sons and daughters. Resting on. There's somebody here with an eczema condition. God is healing it now. In Jesus' name. Somebody else with a bronchial issue. It's like asthma, but it's not asthma. It's a bronchial condition. God is healing your lungs right now. Healing your lungs right now. Healing your lungs right now. Just take a deep breath right now. You're being healed right now. 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 Someone's heart palpitations being healed right now. Somebody with a blood condition. I hear the Holy Spirit saying there's a blood condition being healed right now. As I'm calling these out, if that's you, just grab them. Just grab them. I don't know who it is. The Holy Spirit knows who it is. He's telling me. Somebody else. Somebody else. There's like a fractured vertebrae in your neck. God is healing that right now. God is healing that right now. The doctors are saying it needs to be fused. God is saying I'm fusing it together without an operation. You're being healed right now. It's been pain shooting through, giving you migraines. You're being healed. You're being delivered right now. Somebody's knee. I can feel a knee being healed. Somebody's knees being healed. You limped on in here, you're going to be walking out of here. Father, I thank you for your power. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for breakthrough on these people's lives. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for breakthrough. Thank you for breakthrough. Can everyone stand? I know we're out of time and I need to come to a close. Everybody stand to your feet. Lift your hands high to heaven. If you don't speak in tongues, you can receive that gift. You can receive that gift. Now, let me just tell you, there are three kinds of tongues. Just Corinthians 12, Corinthians 13, Corinthians 14. You need to read those. 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. Tell us there are three different kinds of tongues. There are tongues of men that require interpretation. It's when God gives me a message and I give it in a tongue, I don't understand. Somebody else has the interpretation, and there's somebody here that's their language, and they're like, oh my God, I heard that message in my language, and then somebody, and it's a sign to them. Tongues of men. Then there are tongues of angels. Tongues of angels. That's an angelic message. But then there are unknown tongues. The Bible says there are tongues of men, tongues of angels, and unknown tongues. The Bible says that when you're praying like I was just doing then, in my personal prayer language, it's unknown tongues. In other words, it's none of your beeswax. He who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but he speaks to God. Indeed, with his spirit, he utters mysteries. One of the devil's great lies over the church is to remove power, so he creates confusion around this. It's not confusing. If you read Corinthians 12, 13, and 14, without being infected by bad doctrine and bad teaching, just read it. And you'll see there are three different kinds of tongues. That tongue does not need interpretation because you're not speaking to men. If I got up here and said, Guten Abend, meine Leute, wie geht es dir? Mein Name ist Jürgen und heute Abend sprach ich an Beten. Verstehst du, was ich... I would have to give an interpretation because I'm talking to you in German and none of you would understand what I'm saying. So I had to say, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Jürgen. This evening I'm speaking to you on prayer. But I'd have to give you an interpretation because I was speaking in German. But the Bible says he who speaks in an unknown tongue does not speak to men. He speaks to God. I probably speak in tongues more than anything else. In fact, I'd love to tell you I spend most of my time praying in English. I hardly pray in English because it's like
by the time the Holy Spirit's finished, I'm like, can I pray? Done. Oh, okay. What about if I, oh, you got that too. I'm going to pray for, oh, you already covered that. I was like, have you left anything for me? He's like, well, you're going to pray for this. Romans 8:26 says, he who speaks in tongues, Romans 8:26 says, we don't know how to pray as we ought. So the Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf with groanings and words that cannot be uttered. If you can spend 20 minutes every day, I'm not sure if you're in traffic. I've made a decision because I get a little bit heated in traffic. They're stupid. And I could curse people or I could pray in tongues. I could curse the poor slow-moving driver up front, or I could pray in tongues and edify myself. I made a decision. I'm going to edify myself. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but you'd like that tonight, if you'd like to be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in languages you've never learned, quickly lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If that's you, quickly lift your hand. I'm going to pray for you. If you're around somebody with their hand lifted, would you put your hand on their shoulder? Put your hand on their shoulder. Put your hand on their shoulder. And I'm going to pray. In fact, I'm going to count to three, and then I'm going to just release. Some of you are going to get it before I even get to three. Some of you are going to get it on two. Some of you are going to get it on one. But after three, I just want you to just let it flow out of your spirit. Father, I thank you tonight for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for breakthrough over each and every one of these lives. Don't look to me. Look to God right now. Just make room. Say these words. Say these words. Say, Heavenly Father, tonight I receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Tonight, fill me with your power in Jesus' name. I receive it now. Amen. One, two, three. Be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's it. Just begin to speak. Begin to speak. There it is. Let it flow. Let it flow. Let it flow. You got it, girl. You got it. There it is. Let it go. 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 That's it. Speak it out. 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 Speak it out, speak it out, speak it out, speak it out. Check it out. Say this. How many people here have got a husband? You're a husband and a wife, or you? Would you just grab your spouse's hand? Just lift it up. Just lift it up. Just lift it up. I felt the Holy Spirit say this. Now listen, if you are single here, maybe have a look around the room. No, no, hang on, hang on. No, no, hang on. I just felt the Holy Spirit say this. I felt the Holy Spirit say this. God said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. It said to Adam, I want you to have dominion. And then he said, it's actually not good for you to be alone. Therefore, I'll make a helper comparable to you. The Bible says he made Eve and brought her to Adam. She wasn't just brought to Adam to procreate. She wasn't just there to fulfill that side of his life. She was actually brought into his life so that Adam had somebody to agree with. The Bible says about husbands mistreating their wives, husbands being divided or disconnected from their wives, and the Apostle Paul says this, he says, because of that, your prayers have been hindered. Your prayers are hindered because there's a breach in authority, because authority flows in the place of alignment and in the place of agreement. And so I just want husbands and wives right now just to agree together. And the beautiful Leposkis, I felt the Holy Spirit showing me that there's stuff, Mark, you've been praying for, there's stuff you've been praying for. And I just felt the Holy Spirit say, come together more. And the Lord would even say this, that you almost don't need to travail like you've been travailing in private. Agree together. Just stand together. Stand together. The devil is a great divider. He knows any kingdom divided cannot stand. Any household divided cannot stand. Any family divided. Any marriage divided. He's the great divider. The reason that he works so hard to divide is because in the division, there's a breakdown. There's a breach in authority. So I want you to right now come into alignment, come into agreement. Come into alignment, come into agreement. Come into alignment and agreement, right. Now for all of my young people who do not yet have a significant other as God's great gift, I can't tell you how many times Pastor Leanne and I, if she has something on her heart or if I have something on my heart, how often we get together and we just hold hands and we just pray. And I'm telling you, there's a flow. There's a power in agreement. The Bible says one can set flight to 1,000, but watch this, 2, 10,000. You would think 2,000. No, one sets flight to 1,000, 2, 10. There's a multiplying effect. So until you get a husband or a wife, can I tell you, just come into agreement with a buddy. Girls with a girlfriend, guys with a buddy. Can you stand with me? I'm praying for this. Hey, I got your back. I got your back. Come into agreement. Come into alignment. The Bible says, woe to him who is alone. Two are better than one. The devil knows if he can isolate you, he can take you out. If you've got no one to agree with, if you've got no one to stand with you in prayer. So I want everybody just to maybe just grab somebody that is around you, a friend who's around you, somebody you're sitting with tonight. And just, I know we're out of time, but I just feel an anointing on this. Because, listen, we've decided we want to be a house of miracles. I don't want to just be a house of religion or little clever sermonettes and cool marketing. I want to be a house where people say, my God, when I went down to C3, I saw God part the Red Sea of my life. Also, I saw God heal the leprosy of my heart. I saw God do miracle after miracle after miracle. I want you to experience the supernatural. And listen to me. I don't just believe in miracles. I depend on them. I remember there was a battle where I was just believing for miracles. Now I feel like I'm so far out of the boat, I continually depend on them. And I've got to tell you, it's the place that God loves. Because I'm like, oh man, I'm out here, this could go. And God's like, finally, you're walking by faith. Finally, you're out here with me. When you're at your most vulnerable, that's when you see it, God most powerful. When you're at your most vulnerable is when you see God most powerful. So I want you to just grab somebody. And if you can, just ask them to agree with something that you're believing God for. Ask them to agree with something. Now listen, tomorrow night in this house, I know the Southians are already planning to come up and fill this house. I know Central are already coming up. You guys have the Turkey Bowl trophy. We have the Emerge. Don't let them fill that. Tomorrow night, Mike Connell is going to be busting stuff. Maybe there's stuff that you just think, isn't it normal to struggle with fear? Isn't it normal to struggle with you know, anxiety? Isn't it normal to live with insecurity? Isn't it normal to live oppressed? Isn't it normal to always be struggling and battling dark thought? No, none of those things are normal. Jesus wants to set you free. That power is going to flow tomorrow night here as well. But right now, whatever you're facing, I want you to just get into agreement, get into alignment. Now listen, husbands, if you need to apologize to your wife, apologize to your wife now. Wives, if you need to apologize to your husband, apologize to your husband. Look into their eyes. Look in, it's very hard to be mad if you're looking into your spouse's eyes. Look into your spouse's eyes. Tell them how much you love them. Tell them how beautiful they are. Tell them how much you appreciate them. Now, come on, I want you to get into agreement. Get into agreement. I'm going to get beautiful Haley to sing this song again. And as we sing the song, I want you to stand in agreement, stand in alignment. Come on, I want you to pray for something. Come on, don't let go of hands. Come on, I want you to pray. Come on, Haley, sing this song. Come on, I want you to agree for something. Pray for something. Declare something. Prophesy something. Come on.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.